This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the names of Allah, the exalted, Al-Asma'ul Husna. And today, inshallah, we will begin by looking at the name Al-Muhit. Al-Muhit is the one who completely encompasses, the one who fully surrounds something. Now, the name Muhit occurs 8 times in the Quran. And the word Muhit is actually derived from the word Ihata. And Ihata is to surround or encompass something from all sides. So when you surround or encompass something from all sides, it means that there is no escape for it. So Muhit is the one who completely surrounds someone or something. This is the literal meaning of the word Muhit. Now, Ahata bihi is also to enclose, all right? To enclose. So for example, the word is used for a people who have encircled their enemy. So once they have encircled their enemy, you know, the sides of the town, for example, then that means that the people who are inside now must surrender. There is no way of escape for them. And ahata bil amr, sorry, ahata bihil amr is that someone was encompassed with something and they had no escape from it whatsoever. So when we look at the word, ahata, then we see that it gives us several connotations. The first connotation is to completely have power and control over something, to have complete dominance over something. Then secondly, it denotes having complete knowledge and awareness of something. And then thirdly, it also denotes to destroy something. Why? Because once a people have been surrounded, it means that they have been destroyed by their enemy. So these are the three meanings of the word ihata. Now, when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Muhit, as I mentioned earlier, it occurs 8 times in the Quran. And we see, for example, that that in the Quran, it is said that that Allah is ala innahu bikulli shay'in muhit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. Sometimes this name is mentioned with regard to the knowledge of Allah, right? Or the fact that he encompasses those who disbelieve. So what this means is that, first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, it means that he encompasses the entire creation, meaning the entire creation is within his control. He has absolute power over them. He is fully and completely aware of them. And whatever he decrees, whatever he decides regarding them is what happens. So there is no escape from him. There is no, avoiding his decree. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, this also includes the fact that he encompasses the entire creation with his mercy, right? Meaning that everything is affected by the mercy of Allah the Exalted. So the first meaning of the name Muhit is that he encompasses the entire creation, as it is said in Surah Fussilat, ayah 54, that ala innahu bikulli shay'in muhit, that unquestionably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything. Everything means the entire creation, all people, no matter who they are, no matter what their status is, no matter how sneaky they may be, no matter how private their affairs they may be, no matter how much they work with secrecy, it doesn't matter, because we as creation are all encompassed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, then when this name is mentioned or when the sifa is mentioned, it is specifically referring to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge of what His slaves are doing. This means that nothing of their deeds, nothing of their actions is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Surah At-Talaq, verse number 12, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything in knowledge. So there's nothing that, you know, we do, or nothing that happens, nothing that occurs in this existence, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full awareness of it. He has encompassed it fully. Our problem is that when we have some knowledge of something, some awareness of something, our understanding, our knowledge still has those gaps and holes in it, right? Our knowledge of something is not perfect. It still has its imperfections. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed everything in knowledge. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, it also means that He has complete power over the actions of people. Meaning, no matter what they're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still has power and control over them. So there is no plot, no plan that people can come up with in order to avoid the decree of Allah, or in order to escape Allah, in order to cause any harm to Allah. It's not possible whatsoever, because He has fully and completely encompassed them. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 19, we learn that Wallahu muhitun bil kafirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed those who disbelieve. So the Mufassirun say that one of the interpretations of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to destroy them. He is going to punish them. Meaning, yes, right now in their freedom, they're doing whatever it is that they're doing in their rebellion, in their disobedience, in their pride. But no matter what they do, they can never escape Allah Azza wa Jal. And we see an example of this mentioned in Surah Al-Buruj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ, has there come to you the news of the armies, the troops of who? The troops of Fir'aun wa Thamud, right? Or the troops who were Fir'aun and Thamud. Yani Fir'aun was not just one man. He had his armies. Thamud also were a nation of giants. So, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبِ, do you not know what happened with them? But still, those who disbelieve are in complete denial. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed them. Meaning, no matter what kind of tyranny they carry out in the world, no matter how much they disobey Allah, no matter how much they oppose the messengers of Allah, such people can never escape the decree of Allah. And we know what happened to Fir'aun. We also know what happened to the people of Thamud. It's as if a threat is being given that, remember that no matter what you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed you. He has full power over your actions, over your plans. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 126, it is mentioned, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا, that to Allah belong whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. Everything belongs to Allah, and Allah has encompassed everything. Also in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 47, it is mentioned, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed whatever that they're doing. So no matter how strong their plan is, no matter how detailed and how powerful it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to thwart their plans. He is able to completely destroy their plans. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed us, right, with His knowledge and with His power and with His decree, and there is no escape from Him, then what is it that we should do? What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is that first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, then we should fear Allah. We should have haya of Allah. We should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private and in public. You see, sometimes when we are in a public place or people are able to see us, right, what we're doing, what we're saying, we become very, very careful, right? We become very proper. But then in private, at home, with our family, what happens to us? How is it that we're talking? What is it that we are saying, right? How are we behaving? These are things that we should pay attention to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed us. No matter where we are, there is no escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can be, you know, all nice and proper in front of other people, but what we do in private is also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should come out of this hypocrisy. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 108, it is mentioned that يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that the hypocrites try really hard to hide from people when they're doing something wrong, right? They don't want people to find out what they're doing, right? يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, they try really hard to hide from people. وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, and they don't, they're not able to hide themselves from Allah. Meaning they have fear of people, but they have no fear of Allah. They have, haya of people. They're shy of people, but they're not shy of Allah when they're doing something wrong. And the fact is that وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ, Allah is with them. إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, when they are plotting and they're saying things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. Allah does not approve of. But they say those things in private to one another. And they would never say those things out in public. And really, this is something that we should pay attention to. Because sometimes in our private conversations, you know, in our private WhatsApp groups, for example, we're saying things about other people which we don't want them to ever find out. We try so hard to make sure that these conversations stay private. And yes, there could be different reasons for privacy, because one reason is that, you know, other people have nothing to do with your personal matters. But sometimes we want that privacy because we know that what we're saying is not appropriate. What we're saying is offensive. It is rude. It is hurtful. So we will not say that in front of people, but we will say it behind their backs. So when we're having those conversations with our close, you know, family or with our close friends, where we are, you know, making fun of certain people, we are, backbiting them, we are poking fun at them, we are ridiculing them, etc., then remember that, yes, those people will not find out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us and He knows what we are saying. So we should have that haya of Allah. That is what I'm saying, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would approve of? Or is it something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would disapprove of? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. The verse ends with that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed what they're doing. So no hidden private conversation or action of ours is actually hidden from Allah. It is fully known to Allah. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 120, it is said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ, that indeed Allah has encompassed whatever that they're doing. So sometimes this is what we do, that, you know, we whisper, right? We look around to make sure nobody's there, nobody's listening, right? Nobody's watching. right? We look over our shoulder to make sure that, yes, we have that privacy. But then what are we typing on our phone? What is it that we're looking at? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware. So when Allah is muhit, then we should fear Allah, both in private and in public. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, He has fully encompassed what we're doing, then we should surrender to Him. We should surrender to Him because we should realize that we are not free to do whatever that we desire, whatever that we want. Allah has encompassed us. His decree will prevail over us. He will hold us accountable. He will hold us responsible. And His judgment is going to be carried out on us. So then we should live life remembering this reality, right? We shouldn't go on, doing whatever that we please or in rebellion, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in open disobedience to Allah, living life as if we don't care. Because the fact is that we are not free. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once demonstrated this by drawing a few lines, right, on the sand. And he showed that how the human being is within a square, basically, right, in the sense that we are constrained, confined by the decree of Allah, in the sense that we're not going to live on forever. We are going to die. So when that is our reality, that whatever that we're doing is known to Allah, and we cannot go on living life forever, then the intelligent person would surrender to Allah. Instead of resisting, instead of always fighting, instead of always thinking of ways to get away, the intelligent person would surrender to the decree of Allah. They would surrender to the command of Allah. Because the only success, the only way of salvation is through this way, the way of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, this means that we should be very careful about how we're dealing with people. Because no matter what plan, conspiracy we come up with, no matter what plan we make to harm people, to oppress people, to deprive them of their rights, to deceive them, to cheat them, etc., no matter what we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that we are doing. Wallahu bima yarmaluna muhit. We may have a very, clever plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is far more perfect, right? وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And they plot, meaning the people come up with a plot in order to harm others. And guess what? وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has a plan in return, meaning to harm, to punish these people who are planning to harm others. Wallahu khayrul makirin, and Allah is the best of those who plot or those who plan, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is way stronger and way more powerful than your plan to harm others, your plan to cheat them or deceive them. So do not oppress people, do not deceive them, do not lie to them, because then we will lose the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, this also means that we should not fear people. We should not have that fear of people that they're going to do something to harm us. And yes, people may be trying and they may even be successful, but ultimately remember that they can only damage us with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed for us. Think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? When we study the seerah, especially the time in Mecca and the early years in Medina, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they lived in so much uncertainty, right? Constant fear of people, in the sense that, you know, somebody might come and attack them, somebody might come and kill them, somebody might come and take their property away by force, etc. You need that their life was in danger every single moment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, we learn in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 60, that وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ. And when we said to you that indeed your Lord has fully encompassed people. This is so encouraging that when you have that fear that what will people say? What will they do? They might harm me. They might do this to me. They might do that to me. And when we keep focusing on people, what they might do to us, then this is when we are filled with fear. We should counter these thoughts by reminding ourselves that, Allah has fully encompassed people. Allah knows what they're doing. His plan is stronger than theirs. His power is stronger than theirs. And He has fully encompassed them. He knows all of their plans and He is able to destroy them. He is able to destroy their plans, right? So when you realize the weakness of the creation, right, before the power of the Creator, then you stop fearing the creation, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, then you learn to trust upon Him. When you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully encompassed people, you learn to put your trust in Him. And at the same time, you realize the weakness of the creation. So you stop fearing them. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhit and we want to receive the help of Allah, then we must do our part. And what is that? In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, and if you are patient, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you fear Allah, then لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Then the plot of people, right, the conspiracies that they make in order to harm you, their plans will never harm you at all. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا, at all. Yani they will not be able to harm you whatsoever. When? If you are patient and if you are truthful to Allah, you are conscious of Allah, you mend your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever that people are doing, they will not be able to harm you. And then the verse continues, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Indeed, Allah has encompassed whatever that they are doing. So yes, we should not fear people and we should put our trust in Allah. But at the same time, if we really want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and protection, we have to do our part. And that is that we have to be patient. And we also have to observe taqwa of Allah. We have to be true to Allah. We have to be conscious of Allah in private and in public. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muhit, how is it that we can call upon Allah by this beautiful name? Now, I couldn't find any dua in which this particular name is mentioned. However, there are many duas in which the meaning of this name is definitely implied. So for example, because muhit means one who fully encompasses, right, is fully aware of his creation and has full power and control over them. So we have this beautiful dua which we learn about that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he taught people to say this before going to sleep. And what is that dua? That dua is Allahumma rabbas samawati wa rabbal ardi wa rabbal arshil azim. When you're thinking about the name Muhit, the one who has encompassed everything, right? This dua says, O Allah, who is the Lord of the skies and the Lord of the earth and the Lord of the great throne. Rabbana, who is our Lord, wa rabba kulli shay', who is the Lord of everything, who is faliq al-habbi wa nawa, who is the splitter of the grain and the seed, right? The fruit seed. Yani there is no grain, there is no seed that splits open except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has caused that to happen, right? Because He is muhit, He has encompassed everything in knowledge, He has power over everything. وَمُنْزِلَ التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ. He is the one who has sent down the Tawrat, the Injil, and the Qur'an, right? He has sent down revelation. So you mention the perfection of Allah, and then you say, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَنْتَ أَخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِي. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with You from the evil of everything whose forelock you are holding. Meaning, I seek refuge with you against the evil of the creation. And the reality of the creation is that no matter how powerful it may be, you, O Allah, are holding its forelock, meaning it is fully in your control. You see, Nasliya, forelock, is the hair which is at the front of a person's head, right? Meaning right above the forehead. This hair is called the forelock. So imagine if someone has grabbed, you know, they're holding, this hair of a person, that means that person cannot go right or left or anywhere, right? Meaning they have full control over this individual. So anta akhidun binasiyati. Ya Allah, you are holding the forelock of every creature, meaning you have full power over it. So if there is any evil in that creature, I ask you to protect me from its evil. Because I don't have control over it, you have control over it. And you see, this creature could be anything. It could be a human, it could be a jinn, it could be an animal, right? It could be someone you know, someone you don't know. It could be a real fear, an imaginary fear, any kind of fear we have, right? Then we should make this dua. And then some more names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned in this dua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhit, He has fully encompassed the creation. And this is something that should instill both fear in us as well as hope, right? And more confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next name that we will look at today, inshallah, is the name of Allah Al-Qarib. Al-Qarib, the one who is ever near, the one who is very close to his slaves. The name of Allah Al-Qarib is mentioned in the Quran in three places. We have, for example, in Surah Hud, ayah number 60 and 61, where the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, he addressed his people, and then he advised them that, look, you should seek forgiveness from Allah and repent to Him. Inna Rabbi qareebun mujib. Indeed, my Lord is ever near, and He is mujib. He is ever responsive. He is not far, and He does not ignore His creation. He is near, and He responds. We also have this name mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 189, where it is said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my slaves ask you about me, then tell them that I am near. In Surah Saba, ayah number 50, it is said, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, He, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Samir, He is ever hearing, He is Qareeb, He is ever near. So the name occurs three times in the Book of Allah. Now, Qareeb is the one who is near, right? Because it's derived from the word Qurb. And Qurb is the opposite of Bu'd. Bu'd is distance, right? Ba'udha is, he was distant, meaning he was far. So Qurb is the opposite of that. What is Qurb? Qurb is nearness. Right? Nearness in terms of place, in terms of time, or rank, or relationship. So for example, the Day of Judgment is Qareeb, right? Or the death, the time of death of every person is Qareeb, meaning it's near, right? It's not far. Then there are those who are Muqarrabeen, those who are brought near Allah, meaning in terms of their rank, in terms of their status before Allah. Then, Dhul Qurba or Dhawil Qurba, these are people who are close to you. Why? In terms of relationship, right? You are related to them by blood, therefore they're close to you. So the concept of Qurb Qurb basically means nearness, right? Closeness. And this could be in terms of place, that someone is physically near, or in time, that something is going to happen very soon, or in station, in rank, and also in relationship. And then Qurb also gives a sense of approaching near, drawing near. Okay, so Qareeb is someone who is near. Qareeb is someone who is not far. And Qareeb is also someone who brings someone near, right? Or something near. So when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that mean? It means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, this means that He is alladhi laysa biba'id. He is not at all far from His slaves, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not at all far from His slaves. This means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near His slaves, okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, it means that He is near His slaves. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near His slaves, what does that mean? It means that yes, Allah is above His arsh, right? He is above His throne. Yet at the same time, He is near His slaves. He is near His slaves, so He knows them, He hears them, He responds to them, right? And this is why we learned that once a Bedouin asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Messenger of Allah, is our Lord near so that we can whisper to Him when we're making dua? Or is He far so we have to really yell out loud when we're calling upon Allah? So this is when this ayah was revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 189, that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I respond to the dua, the invocation of the caller when he calls upon me. So the lesson is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near His slaves, right? He is not far from His creation. We learn in Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah number 10, that سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ, it is all the same whether someone among you speaks very secretly or out loud, openly in front of everybody. And it's the same to Allah, whether you talk softly or you talk loudly, whether you keep something within your heart and you never say it, or you say it all the time. It's all the same to Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. We learn in Surah Al-Mujadala, ayah number 7, about the woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she complained to him about her husband. And she spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for some time. Aisha radiallahu anha was there, and she did not hear the dua that this woman made. Aisha radiallahu anha was in the same room, but she did not hear the dua that this woman made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the statement of the woman who was arguing with you about her husband. تَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, and she was complaining to Allah, right? So Aisha radiallahu anha was amazed that she was in the room and she didn't hear what that woman said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the plea of this woman from above the seven heavens. Isn't that amazing? So Allah is qareeb, right? He is near His slaves. And you know this verse where it is mentioned, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. This verse is very amazing. You see, in the Quran, there are many verses that show or that were revealed in response to people's questions, right? So for example, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, right? They ask you, عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, they ask you about intoxicants, about wine and gambling, right? So قُلْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ, you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you say, you tell them, you give them the answer that فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ, that in them, meaning in wine and gambling, is a lot of sin, and yes, there may be some benefits, but the sin is greater than the benefit, right? But notice how in this verse, what is said is they ask you. So, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, you tell them. And this is common in many verses, right? That where a question is mentioned, they ask you, and then the response is given, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that you tell people, you give the answer. But the verse that we're looking at right now, that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when they ask, when my servants ask you about me, then it is not said فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then you tell them that indeed I am near. No, قُلْ is not said over there. The answer is given straight away. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then indeed I am near. As if to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to his slaves that there is really nothing in between. No person in between. Nobody in between. Meaning you directly call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You, no matter who you are, and as you are, with all of your flaws and your sins and your imperfections and your weaknesses and your judgment of yourself and whatever it is, however you are, you can call upon Allah as you are. You don't need a third person in the middle. You don't need a middle person. This concept does not exist in Islam, that you have to approach Allah, you know, through someone else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, when you need to ask, when you need to beg, then ask Allah. And he directly asked Allah. He did not say that first call upon me and then I will make dua on your behalf, right? Or first go to, you know, such and such righteous person, or find a super righteous person and then request them to make dua for you. No, this concept does not exist in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, fa'inni qareeb. It hasn't been said, faqul inni qareeb, right? No, directly tell them, directly they should know that Allah is near. So there is no wasita, right? There is no middleman between you and your Lord. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Now remember that the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is of two kinds, all right? The first type of closeness is, or nearness is, قُرْب عَام, all right? Nearness which is general, in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yes, he is near to all his creatures, right? So he knows them, he watches them, he observes them closely, he fully encompasses them, he has power over them, he is attentive towards their affairs, and so on and so forth. So for example, in Surah Qaf, ayah number 16, it is said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, right? Where the human being is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are closer to him than his jugular vein, right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to his creation than they are to one another, right? Meaning no matter how close someone is to you, right, they don't know what's happening inside of you. And so often it happens that you are with your loved ones, right? And you think that they can read your expressions. You hope, you expect that they're able to understand that you are not in a good mood, right? Or they're able to understand what you need, but they just don't get it, right? At times they fail. At times they fail to pick up on those cues, right? They don't realize, which is why we have to communicate with them. You would think that if you have known someone all your life, they would understand you, but it doesn't happen. Right? So no matter how close someone is to you, you know that they're not, they're really not that close. They don't know what's happening inside of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever near his slaves. So Allah is closer to his slaves than the slaves are to one another. And remember that ultimately we return to Allah. Right, we could be very close to people, we could be very close to one another, but ultimately we are going to be separated, right, where we're going to die and return to Allah. So in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, ayah 85, where death is being described, it is said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ, we are closer to him than you are, right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to his slave than you, O people, are to the person who is dying. That body is in front of you, but you're not able to keep the soul, right? You're not able to keep it. So, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. So this is the general qurb, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near all of his slaves. But then there is qurb khas. Qurb khas, as in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially near his worshippers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially near those who beg him, and those who ask him, and those who praise him, and those who love him, and those who worship him. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. So it is mentioned in the Quran that Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Indeed, the help of Allah is near. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. He certainly helps his righteous slaves. So we learn about Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. When they were sent to Fir'aun, Allah says in Surah Taha, ayah 46, that قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. That do not fear, I am with you. I hear and I see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this to them. That don't worry, don't be afraid when you go to Fir'aun. I hear everything. I see everything. And then in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 19, it is mentioned, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is with the believers. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 153, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 194, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Fear Allah, and you should know that Allah is with those who fear Him. What does it mean by this? That Allah is with them, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. And also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them. He accepts their righteousness. In a hadith in Abu Dawood, we learn that when a person stands to pray salah, right, when they're facing the qibla, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَقْبِلُ رَبَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَزَّ. Meaning that the person is actually facing his Lord, right? Allah is before you. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you must spit, do not spit in front of you. Meaning, you know, for example, if a person is praying and they cough and, you know, there's phlegm in their mouth and they must get rid of it, don't just spit in front of you. Don't do that. Allah is before you. You're facing Allah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially near his slaves in this way. We learned that when Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about the distance between the sky and the earth, that what is that distance in physical terms? Ali radiallahu anhu said, it is an answered dua, an answered prayer, in the sense that that is the distance that matters. Right? When you call upon Allah, you make dua, and that dua is heard by Allah, then that's all the distance that matters. And the fact is that when you call upon Allah, you are heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. So the physics basically are irrelevant when it comes to qurb khas, when it comes to special nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then part of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guides such servants, right, who are granted a station of nearness. So in Surah Saba, ayah number 50, it is mentioned, قُلْ إِنْ ضَلَلْتُ فَإِنَّمَا أَضِلُّ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَإِنْ اِهْتَدَيْتُ فَبِمَا يُوحِي إِلَيَّ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to proclaim that if I am guided, then if I am upon guidance, then it is because of the revelation that my Lord has given me. And indeed, my Lord is ever hearing, ever near. So it's as if we're being told that the Prophet ﷺ is guided because of the revelation that he receives from Allah, who is hearing, who is near, right? So this shows that guidance is a sign of Allah's nearness to a slave. And really, if you think about it, worldly things, they are granted to everybody. Those who are near Allah and also those who are far from Allah. Far in the sense that they're distant because of their disobedience, their disbelief, right? But those who are near Allah are those who are guided. Those who follow the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So, innahu sami'un qareeb. Now, one thing we must understand is that when we're talking about nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially qurb khas, then remember that this nearness is not metaphorical in the sense that it's not just to show that, yeah, Allah really loves them and cares about them. So a way of saying that is that Allah is near. No, this nearness is literal, okay? Literal, but in a way that befits His divinity, right? Meaning when we're talking about nearness to, you know, the creation, then, okay, that is, nearness in physical terms, right? But of course, that is not the case when we're talking about nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is literally near His slaves, but in a way that befits Him, in a way that befits His uluhiyya, right? His divinity, and in a way that is unique to Him, in a way that does not imply physical contact or material presence. Right, but don't take the concept of qurb as, oh, it's just a way of speech. No, this is literal, but of course in a way that only befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, the first meaning, as I mentioned, is that the fact that He is near His creation. And then secondly, it also means that He grants stations of nearness to His slaves. So He is muqarrib, meaning who gives stations of qurb to His slaves. So for example, we learn about Angel Jibreel, ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ, that Jibreel has an established place, a rank, a certain position near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We learn about other angels, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, right? مُقَرَّبُونَ, those who are brought near, meaning those who are especially near Allah. We learn about the prophets of Allah. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in Surah Maryam, ayah 52, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّا. We brought him near in private conversation, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him, right? وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ. And in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 45, Isa alayhi salam is mentioned that he is وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, he is among those brought near, those granted stations of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we also learn about the righteous slaves of Allah, where it is mentioned in the Quran, فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ, that when a person is dying, if he happens to be of the muqarrabeen, those who were brought near Allah, then such a person will receive rawh wa rayhan wa jannatu na'im. He will receive, there's different interpretations of this, comfort, mercy, fragrance, and garden of delightful blessings, garden of bliss. This is what those brought near to Allah will receive in the afterlife. And then we also learn about sabiqoon in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verses 10 to 12, that wasabiqoon as-sabiqoon ulaika al-muqarrabun, that those who are ahead, right, ahead of others, those who are first to do good, they don't delay, they're eager to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such people will be ahead of others on the Day of Judgment also. And they will be ulaika al-muqarrabun, they are the ones who will be brought near, meaning they will be granted stations of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where? Fi jannatin na'im, in gardens of delightful blessings, in gardens of bliss, right? In Surah Al-Qamar, verses 54 to 55, we learn, innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar, indeed the righteous will be in gardens and rivers, fi maq'adi sidqin عند مليك مقتدر, that they will be in a seat of honor near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Malik Muqtadir, who is perfectly able, who is perfectly powerful, and he is the sovereign of all. So the righteous will be granted nearness to him, Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Now, the question is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, what is it that we should do? Well, the first thing we should do is that we should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near, right? We should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. And as a result of that, we should remember that, you know, we are known, right? Yes, we may be a nobody, right, to the people around us. It's possible that they don't care. They don't pay any attention to us. They don't show any regard to us. They don't show any importance to us. They don't even acknowledge our presence, right? And we may be a nobody, right, who people don't care about. Okay, fine. But you know what? We're not invisible. We're not unknown. We are known by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah acknowledges you. Allah is qareeb to His slaves. People may shun you and abandon you and try to push you away and try to, deprive you, right? And try to get away from you and make sure that, nobody comes to you. It's possible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. You may feel that when you say something, you are not heard, right? People don't acknowledge what you're saying, but you are heard because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. He is near His slaves. And you know, sometimes we feel like that I am worthless, or, you know, nobody hears me, nobody cares about me. We have such feelings, especially when we're going through some kind of hardship or when we've made a mistake. And because we're human, we are not perfect. We will make mistakes, right? And we see examples of this even in the prophets of Allah. Think about Yunus alayhi salam, right? Yunus alayhi salam, he made a mistake where he was frustrated with his people, right? They would not listen to him, so he just left. And we know that he boarded the ship, and then what happened, people, basically had to throw him in the water. They did that, a fish swallowed him, and imagine in that darkness, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? In that loneliness, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In those layers of darkness, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you think? In the middle of the sea or in the depths of the water, who heard him? Right? Who would come to rescue him? Who would save him? But we learn in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 87, 88, that وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He called upon Allah that, Ya Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but You. Indeed, You are perfect. I am the one who is at fault. I have done wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we responded to him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we rescued him from grief. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And thus do we rescue the believers. So this means that anytime we are feeling down, we are feeling rejected, unheard, unacknowledged, or extremely guilty, and those feelings of worthlessness are consuming us, at that time, let us call upon Allah. And when we will call upon Allah, we will be heard. So this is the first thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, we should believe that Allah is near. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near, then we should call upon Him, right? And this should reflect in the way that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, we learned that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said that once we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning they were traveling, and every time that they, you know, went uphill, all right, meaning as they're moving forward, as they went uphill, they said Allahu Akbar out loud, right? He said that وَكَبَّرْنَا اِرْتَفَعَتْ أَصْوَاتُنَا. Every time that we said Allahu Akbar, our voices became really loud. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, O people, be gentle with yourselves, for you are not calling upon someone who is deaf or absent. Indeed, he is with you, meaning your Lord, he hears you. And he is not absent from you, meaning he is with you. He knows what you're saying. Innahu sami'un qareeb. He is hearing and he is near. So basically the Prophet ﷺ taught us the etiquette of calling upon Allah, that when we're making dua or when we're making dhikr, when we're reciting Quran, let us not shout. Let us not yell, because that will be hard on us, right? It will become exhausting for us. And it's also disrespectful that you don't have to yell out when you're addressing, when you're talking to your Lord, Azza wa Jal. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, this means that we should feel secure, right? We should feel at ease because we are not alone, right? You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to travel a lot. And, you know, travel, as much as we find it to be exciting, it has its hardships. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he traveled, it was mainly for what purpose? For different battles, right? And when you're traveling, you also you're afraid for yourself. You're also afraid for your family back home. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua. In his dua, he would say, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are the companion in this journey, right? We are not alone. We know that you are with us. Wal khalifatu fil ahl. And you also take care of the family who is back home. So when you remind yourself of the fact that Allah is near, then your fear departs, right? You feel at ease. What happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave, when him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they were in the cave and the enemy was right outside, right? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was afraid. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not be sad. Indeed, Allah is with us. And so Allah says, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah sent down His tranquility upon him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at ease. His fear departed. So our anxiety and fear will also diminish, right? It will go away when we remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. He is near. Allah is here. Not just there. He is here, right? He is with me. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, He is near, then we should also be conscious of Him in all of our situations, right? Meaning don't forget Him. Don't ignore Him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, this also means that we should turn back to Allah quickly. Anytime that we make a mistake, we realize we've done something wrong, instantly, astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive me, right? Rabbi ghfirli. In Surah An-Nisa, verse number 17, it is mentioned that إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. That the repentance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from His slaves is which one? Is the repentance that comes from the people who do something wrong in ignorance. And ignorance doesn't mean they didn't know. It can also mean they forgot, right? Or they were overcome by, you know, emotion or impulse. So in that moment, they were as if they were ignorant. But then, ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. They repent very soon, very quickly. Meaning as soon as they realize this was not right, they make tawbah to Allah. They seek forgiveness from Allah. And this is what we should do. Do not delay repentance. Right. And then when Allah is qareeb, He is near, then we should also be qareeb in the sense that we should also be near people, easy to deal with, approachable. Not that we are keeping ourselves on a pedestal and, we are unapproachable. We are too busy for people. We don't have time to, you know, speak with them. We don't have time to help them. This kind of behavior is not appropriate for us. If Allah is qareeb, then we should also be qareeb towards people. And of course, when Allah is qareeb, this means that we must strive to draw near Allah, right? Even nearer, because we want to go from qurb am to qurb khas, right? Meaning we want to have that special nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In hadith, we learned that when a person takes one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards them, right? And we learn in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 57, about the way of the righteous, that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ, that they call upon Allah, they seek ways of nearness to Allah. Meaning they're seeking ways through which they can draw near Allah. And their struggle is أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبْ, who is closer to Allah, right? Meaning they want to be even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, how can we draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We think in order to do that, we have to go to some really super righteous person, and you know, we have to give them a pledge, we have to pray through them, we have to go offer a sacrifice at a grave, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. You don't have to go through somebody, you go directly. And you draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through different ways. Ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taught us. And what are those ways? The first way is that we make dua, right? We call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, right? I am near. And this is with regard to dua. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. So the first thing we should do in order to draw closer to Allah is that we make dua to him. No matter what mistake we've made, no matter how we're feeling, no matter how worthless even we think we may be, still call upon Allah. Think about Yunus alayhi salam, who made dua from within those darknesses, right? Secondly, through faith and righteous deeds, right? We strive to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Saba, ayah 37, it is mentioned that وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرُّكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى. It is not your money and it is not your children at all that draw you closer to us. No, it's not through your money, it's not through your children, it's not through your worldly status that you draw closer to Allah, that you get a station of closeness to Allah. No, it is how? Illa man amana wa amila saliha. It is through iman, through faith, and through righteous deeds. So work on these two things. You want closeness to Allah, you build you strengthen your faith, and you improve your righteous deeds. And then thirdly, salah. Improve your salah. Be consistent with your salah and focus in your salah. Try to perform your salah even better, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salatu qurban." Salah is qurban, meaning it is closeness to Allah. It is the way through which you will find nearness to Allah. It is the way through which you will draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you see, salah is what? Your conversation with Allah, right? And we know that in order to be near anybody, have that closeness with anybody, you have to speak with them. You have to spend time with them. You can't just be thinking about them, right? So salah is your conversation with Allah. It's your talking to Allah, right? Only Allah. So as-salat qurban. And then especially the night prayer, salatul layl. In a hadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, alaykum bi qiyam al-layl. You must adhere to the night prayer because it was the way of the righteous before you. وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. And it is also a way of drawing closer to your Lord. And we know that from so many hadiths that in the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky and he asks us, he invites us, that is there anybody who will call upon me so that I will answer him? Who will ask me for something and I will give him? Is there anyone who is unwell, who is marib, right, who is seeking healing? Is there any person suffering from poverty, right, who is seeking independence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to call upon him. So that is how we draw closer to Allah. And then, of course, sajda, right, prostration, as in the Quran we learn, wasjud waqtarib, that makes sajda to Allah and draw near. That is how you draw near Allah, by putting your head on the ground, right? And in a hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the closest, the nearest position that the slave, the position in which the slave can be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the position of sajda, right? That is where you are closest to Allah. And this is why he said, فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَاءِ, meaning when you're making sajda, then make dua, right? So, sajda. And then we also learn in another hadith, a beautiful hadith, which we learn about one of the companions who used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, ask me for anything, I want to reward you. I want to give you something. And the man said that, Ya Rasulullah, I just want to be close to you in your companionship in Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then help me by increasing your sujood. Meaning, if you want to be close to me in my companionship in the hereafter, then you must first be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You must first be close to Allah. You must do sajda first, a lot of sajda, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that station of nearness. We also learn in the hadith that any Muslim, when he performs a sajda, even one sajda, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his rank because of that, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also erases his sin because of that. So for every sajda that you perform, you increase in your rank, right? Meaning you draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, besides salah, other obligations as well, because in a hadith we learn that my servant does not draw close to me through anything except what I have obligated him with. So whether it is salah, or it is zakat, or it is fasting, or it is being dutiful towards your parents, any obligations on you, when you fulfill them, that is how you draw closer to Allah. And then after the obligation, you increase in your voluntary deeds. Because in that same hadith, it is mentioned that the servant draws, continues to perform the voluntary deeds, right, until he is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nawafil as well. And then sadaqah, right, meaning even when you give charity, when you are giving sadaqah, give it in order to be closer to Allah. So in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 99, we learn that وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that this person, when he spends in order to find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is said, أَلَا إِنَّهَا قُرْبَةٌ لَهُمْ, yes, it will be a means of a closeness for them, meaning they will find qurb to Allah through the sadaqah that they're giving. So when you're giving a donation, a charity, give it, with that feeling, Ya Allah, I want to be closer to you, right? Don't give it with that feeling that, okay, I might as well give this person something so that they leave me alone, right? No, give it with that eagerness that, Ya Allah, I want to be closer to you. Ya Allah, be pleased with me. I'm giving this for your sake. You be pleased with me. And then after that, ihsan, meaning excellence, generosity, doing whatever you're doing in the best way for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though you can see him. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 56, it is mentioned, Inna rahmatullahi qareebun minal muhsinin. The mercy of Allah is close to those who work with excellence. And then dhikr, remembrance of Allah, because whenever you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, right? You remember me, I will remember you. In a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي. I am with him, meaning with the slave, when the slave remembers me. So you remember Allah and you will find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, tawbah, repentance. In Surah Hud, ayah 61, we learn that the Prophet of Allah, he said to his people that seek forgiveness from Allah, repent to him. Indeed, he is qareeb, he is near. So repent to Allah and you will find closeness to Allah. And then take little steps even, no matter how insignificant you think a good deed might be, don't belittle it. Because you don't know because of which good deed you will find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, calling people to Allah. Because when you call others to Allah, you will find closeness to Allah. Ibn al-Jawzi said that, أَلَسْتَ تَبْغِي الْقُرْبَ مِنْهُ. Do you not seek closeness to Allah? Don't you want to be close to Allah? And if that is the case, then فَاشْتَغِلْ بِدَلَالَةِ عِبَادِهِ عَلَيْهِ. Get busy in leading his slaves to Allah. Meaning, if you really want to find closeness to Allah, then strive to lead people to Allah. Tell them good things, right? Share good things with them. Remind them of who Allah is. Help people connect with Allah. Help them see his blessings and his mercy, right? And when you will do that, you will find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yourself also. And then serve humanity, meaning serve the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense that you help them. Because when you will help them, you will find closeness to Allah. In a hadith, we learned that on the day of judgment, Allah will say to a person that, O son of Adam, I was unwell and you did not come to visit me. And that person will say, Ya Rab, how would I come to visit you when you are the Lord of, you are the Lord, meaning how? That person will be confused. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, did you not know that such and such servant of mine was unwell? And if you had gone to visit him, you would have found me near him. Meaning you would have found closeness to me by visiting this person. Right? And then food is mentioned. And then water is mentioned. So when you help people, when you help those who are weak, then this is how you find closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Then through Quran, because in a hadith we learn that there are people who are Allah's special people, right? Ahlullah, khasatu. Who are they? They are Ahlul Quran. They are the people of the Quran. So the more time you spend with the Quran, reciting it, memorizing it, trying to understand it, in different ways, when you spend time with the Quran, that is how you find, you draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also visit the masjid, right? These days, of course, it's a different situation. But unfortunately, I've heard recently that in some masajid, because you have to register in advance in order to go pray Salatul Jumu'ah, there are people who are not registering well in time. And because of that, they are missing Jumu'ah after Jumu'ah after Jumu'ah. So it has been months and they have not gone for Jumu'ah at all. And this is something very frightening, that people are losing that habit completely. So make a point, if your local masjid requires that you register in advance, make a point to do that. Set a reminder on your phone. Make a point to be a regular attendant of, visitor of the masjid. Because in a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day of judgment, Aina jirani, where are my neighbors? Aina jirani, where are my neighbors? And the angels will say, Ya Rab, who could be that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Aina ummar al masjid, where are the people who inhabited the masajid, right? The mosques, where are they? Because they will be granted closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And then of course, part of this is to do those actions that lead one to the shade of the throne on the day of judgment, right? For example, giving sadaqah very privately so that when a person gives with one hand, the other hand does not even find out. Likewise, remembering Allah in private and crying out of fear of Him. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned other deeds as well. Now, we should also strive to be, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, we should also strive to be of those who are muqarrab, right? Those who are granted nearness or stations of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are these people? These are people who are conscious of Him, right? Because inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Indeed, the most honorable of you near Allah are those who are most, those who have most taqwa of Allah, right? The muqarrab slaves of Allah, those granted nearness to Allah, are those who fear Allah. The angels are mentioned in the Quran that وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشِيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. They're afraid of Allah. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They are afraid of their Lord. The righteous fear the day of judgment also. The muqarrabun, those who are especially near Allah, they fear the day of judgment as well. We learn in a hadith in Musnad Ahmad that مَا مِنْ مَلَكٍ مُقَرَّبٍ. There is no angel that is near, meaning that has a station of nearness. And then other things are mentioned, except that he fears the day, on the day of Jumu'ah. Why? Because the day of judgment is supposed to happen on the day of Friday. So we should check ourselves that are we among the muqarrab? Do we want to be of the muqarrab? And if that is the case, do we have these qualities within us? And then also, the muqarrab are those who are humble no matter what they do. Meaning, they never feel arrogant about their good deeds. They're always humble before Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, this also means that we should seek the company of those who are close to Allah. In Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 28, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. That you should stay in the company of those people who remember Allah in the morning and in the evening, seeking His face. You stay in their company, right? So do not distance yourself from them. Consult them, work with them, spend time with them. And the people who are distant from Allah, meaning who don't remember Allah, who are too busy with the world, then you should also be distant from them. Because if you spend more and more time with them, you're going to get influenced by them. So check your company. The people that you surround yourself with, the people that you spend time with, and these days we are spending time digitally together, right? So on social media, check yourself. What kind of posts are you reading, right? What types of people are you following? What is it that they're reminding you of? Are they reminding you of Black Friday deals? Are they reminding you of shopping? Are they constantly reminding you of this trend and that trend and what to wear and what not to wear and how to do your makeup and how to do your lashes in a new way and, how to dress, etc.? Is this it? Like just worldly things? Or are they also reminding you of the hereafter? Are they also reminding you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we want to be in the company of those who are close to Allah, not those who are distant from Allah. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that اقتربت الساعة, the hour is drawing near. ولا يزداد الناس على الدنيا إلا حرصا. And people only increase in their greed for the world. The hour, the day of judgment is coming near and the people are only increasing in their greed for this world. And as they are increasing in their greed for the world, وَلَا يَزْدَادُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. They're only becoming more distant from Allah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we don't want to be like that, that we become distant from Allah by getting lost in the world. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qareeb, how is it that we can call upon Allah? First of all, let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for eternal nearness to Him, right? And here we can see the dua of Asiya, where she prayed, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh my Lord, build for me a house near You in Jannah. I want a house near You in Jannah. A house in Jannah, because that house is permanent, and a house near You, because the ultimate goal is eternal nearness to Allah. because that is where success is. Secondly, pray for the ability to do what brings nearness to Allah. So there is a dua, part of which is أَسْأَلُكَ حُبَّكَ وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرُّ إِلَى حُبِّكَ. That, O Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of those whom you love, or those who love you, and the love of deeds which will draw me closer to your love. Meaning, give me the ability to enjoy performing those actions that will draw me near you. And then also make dua for others. There's another dua as well, in the same theme. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amal. That, O Allah, I ask you for paradise, and I also ask you for those deeds that will draw me closer to Jannah, right? Whether it is deeds or words, give me the ability to perform those deeds, to say those things that will draw me closer to paradise, and protect me from hellfire, and protect me from saying those things or doing those things that will lead me closer to hellfire. And then also make dua for others. When you accidentally wrong someone, when you accidentally hurt someone inadvertently, right, you annoy them, and then make dua. Allahumma inni attakhidhu, this is dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make, that Allahumma inni attakhidhu indaka ahdan lan tukhlifanihi. That, oh Allah, I make a covenant with you against which you would never go. Meaning, you don't break your promise. And فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. Indeed, I am a human being. So that means I am imperfect. I am unaware, right? I make mistakes. فَأَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَذَيْتُهُ. So if there is any unbelievers whom I have hurt, شَتَمْتُهُ, I have bad mouthed, or I have rebuked, la'antuhu, or I have cursed, jalattuhu, or I have beaten him, I have hit him, faj'alha lahu salatan, then make that a means of blessing for him, wazakatan, and purification, wa qurbatan, and closeness, tuqarribuhu biha ilayka yawm al-qiyamah, by which you will draw him close to you on the day of judgment. Yani, yes, the fault is mine. I did that by accident or because of my own weakness. But Ya Allah, I ask you that if there is anyone whom I have wronged, I have hurt, I have beaten, I have cursed, right? Verbally, physically hurt in any way, then Ya Allah, you reward them from your treasures. You bless them. You forgive them. You purify them. And you grant them closeness to you. So make dua for other people as well, that they may be granted closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sorry for taking extra time today. I really wanted to complete the explanation of this name in one session. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakallahu khayran katheera.